Hello and welcome to Connecting to Host, a podcast specifically aimed at cooperative and multiplayer games. Today we're going to be discussing Rocket League, which is a futuristic sports action game that equips players with booster-rigged vehicles that could be crashed into balls for incredible goals or epic saves across multiple highly detailed arenas. It costs £15 on PC, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 and is due to come to the Nintendo Switch at some point in holiday 2017.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Who even knows? So John, you originally played it on the PlayStation 4, didn't you?
I did. I'm pretty sure it was free on PlayStation Plus. That's how it launched, as a free game on PlayStation Plus. So I didn't even pay for it to get my first 30 hours out of it.
I also didn't pay for it because I think it was part of the first Humble Bundle, Humble Monthly, that I subscribed to before I even got my gaming PC, like in preparation for it. I was like, I need games for this thing. So I subscribed to it and then I played it on the Mac. No, I didn't play it on the Mac. That's a blatant lie. Sorry, I played it before my graphics card arrived. I played it with Intel graphics. Intel. And it was pretty much the same, to be honest. I played it on a little 1080p monitor with my Intel graphics. But now we both play it on ultra-wide 3440 by 1440 at 100Hz G-Sync, both with GTX 1080s. And we've played around 300 hours together.
Yeah, 600 hours in total. That's pretty yeah. Hardcore.
It's nearly Titanfall, but not quite. The original, not Titanfall 2. Anyway, John, tell us about this game that we've dipped our toe into occasionally.
Yeah, just a little. So I'll just run over the really basic core gameplay for anyone who hasn't played it, and I'll make it pretty quick because it's a fairly simple game. But the really basic premise is you drive a car around an arena trying to hit a ball into the opponent's goal and keep it out of yours at the same time. So it's basically soccer but with futuristic cars.
Can we call it football, please? This
soccer football. Soccer,
a made up word.
It's English football. So around the arena, there are a bunch of boost pads, some small and some large, which can boost up your turbo boost in the corner. And at any point, you can mash the, I'm going to say circle, because that's what it is on PS4, but the button on the right, to go faster. When you end up with your car in the air, you can rotate very freely. I mean, it's unrealistic, but it's fun in the fact you can rotate in all six axes by pushing a button to alter the way you rotate. You can jump with a single button push, and once you're in the air, if you tap again, then you double jump. But if you, at the peak of your first jump, hold in a direction and push the jump again, then you kind of spin off to the side or backwards and do a backflip, which changes your direction and lets you just put that final precision on a shot if your original jump or trajectory wasn't quite on target. You can also use it to get some extra speed by double jumping forwards, or a bit of extra emergency height if the ball is coming towards your goal. Now, the reason why it's called Rocket League, I guess, is because one core gameplay factor, which you don't really expect to pick up for the first 30 hours, I guess, unless you're just going to go careering into the wall or the ceiling, is the rocket jumps. Anytime your car isn't on the ground, when you use the rocket, as long as it's your backside is pointing the ground, then it will propel you up into the air. And you've probably seen videos of cars doing all sorts of crazy shit, going in the air and hitting goals. And that's something we still can't do after 300 hours. But we can rocket jump and hit balls.
Speak for yourself. I can occasionally. I've got about a 50% hit ratio. But I do a good feint in the air. People think I'm going to hit it, but I don't.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You're good at that. Tricking people.
Yeah.
But there's just one or two more mechanics, really, to round off the set. You can drive up the walls, which means if the ball is high up in the air, sometimes you can drive up the wall and clip it and get a good shot. And actually, some people who are really good, they will drive up the wall, jump, and use that to get their height into the air, and then rocket jump across the pitch. But that's definitely outside of our skill range at the moment. And the last mechanic is just, if you go fast enough and hit someone, then you blow them up. And a few seconds later, they respawn back next to their goal. So if they're attacking your goal, it can be a good way of giving you a few seconds breather. And often you do it by accident, right? And then you sometimes get a little passive-aggressive comment back in the chat.
seems a lot of people don't like that. It's kind of like the smart pistol in Titanfall. People are like, oh, you ran me, you cheater. Oh. You get better at the game. It's a bit weird. So I'll talk a little bit about just like the specific game modes. I mean, like you said, I mean, there isn't that much nuance to this game. It is very simple, but it's one of those easy to grasp, you'll never fucking master it. That's how I would describe it anyway. So the core modes are basically, as John just described it, it's football, and you can have it with 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, or 4v4, both ranked and unranked. And all that basically means is that if you go for the ranked mode, then you have a level that changes throughout the seasons that they have. And seasons tend to be about 2 months, I think they're going for at the moment. So if you win a match, then you get a few more points, and then you might go up from silver level 2 to silver level 3. And then once you get up to silver 4, you go up to gold 1, 2, 3, and so on. Well, I imagine so. I don't think we got that far.
We did for one weekend.
Yeah. When we got re-ranked, we thought we were gold, and then we realised it was bronze. It was the most disheartening evening of my life.
Everyone should end up about one rank higher in the new one, they said. Play a few matches. You are gold 1. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Bronze 1. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Rocket League.
It's pretty bad. In the unranked mode, it's exactly the same game. The difference is that people can drop out. Like, if they start losing, people rage quit a lot because they don't want to hang around. In ranked mode, that doesn't happen because you're going to lose points and you'll go down in rank. So to make up for that imbalance, unranked mode has bots. So if a match doesn't have enough players, or if someone drops out, then a bot just seamlessly appears, which is good sometimes, I guess. So there are a couple of casual modes that sort of been added over time. It's sort of worth pointing out that Rocket League does get a lot of free content updates pretty much monthly, with new arenas, new game modes. So there's Drop Shot, which has been a fairly recent one, where the floor is made up of hexagonal tiles, and you can hit a tile twice for it to disappear and make a goal. So that's a bit of a weird one. There's Rumble, which I really like, which has 11 random power-ups. So it's kind of like a Mario Kart-esque version of this. So, like, you get a big fist on the front of your car that's attached to a spring, so you can punch the goal or you can freeze it. And it becomes really cool when everyone's got all these powers and they're flying them around. I've not played a huge amount of that, but it was a lot of fun when I did play it. Hoops is basically this whole thing, but with basketball rather than football. So you have hoops at each end of the court rather than goals, so you have to get them right up and over and in, which is a bit more difficult. And then there's Snow Day, which is, again, the same thing, but hockey, ice hockey specifically. So the ball is a hockey puck. I didn't really enjoy this one as much. It's a bit more, the physics aren't quite right because the whole game has been geared towards a ball, and so the puck doesn't quite bounce properly when you hit it. It's a bit odd, I found. There are 7 different arenas, and they have various different modes. So you might get it at night, day, with various weather effects. There's some snow in some of them for Christmas.
That's still there, right? You still see it in the rotations.
Yeah, it still shows up. I don't think the one shows up that's got Christmas trees and shit, but there's certainly a lot of them that have got snow effects, which is good because, I mean, to be honest, the particle effects are really, really nice in Rocket League. The actual arenas are beautiful when you look around them. Generally, you don't have time because you're too busy playing, but it is pretty nice how they've done it. I think the only other thing to mention is that you can play this split screen locally. we tried this, and it was awful. Like, we were so bad in split screen. And we always jokingly, whenever people join the game, you can tell they're in split screen because it'll have, the names will be the same, and it'll say 1-2 after it. So it'd be like, if both said Kylo Ben 1, Kylo Ben 2, you'd be like, okay, they're split screen. And we'd always be like, these fucking split screeners, this will be easy, because it's so difficult. And I swear to God, nearly every time we're up against split screen players, they beat us.
Yeah.
And every time we tried to split screen, I don't think we won a single match in split screen. We played about 20 matches. No, we were
logged into your account, right, and we played for about 2 hours, and I think maybe we won one match, but that was it.
Yeah, I lost a lot of rank that day.
You did.
Do you want to talk about the customization kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, like any game which is often given away free and very cheap, there's a lot of scope for jazzing up your car and customization. So, I mean, first and foremost, you've got a whole range of different cars. And yeah, there's a healthy bunch that you get bundled with the game. But some of the more special cars come as DLC. And I think they're all very reasonably priced. I mean, I've bought a couple of cars for usually about £1.50 or £2 each, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I bought the Batmobile first and then, I can't remember what it's called now, the Mazamuni, and a couple more cars more recently. So it's...
I got the DeLorean and I got a couple of other ones as well.
And some of them come with some cool effects, right? Like the DeLorean has the wheels that flip under when you go into the air.
Yeah.
And the Batmobile, when you blow someone up, there's like a big bat symbol that comes out of the explosion.
They have done a nice job with it.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice things to... And yeah, it's just nice to give back to the developer a bit. The difference in the cars, it's very slight, but some of them are more truck-like, some of them are more racing car-like, and some are more just sort of standard sedan-like size. The hitbox is slightly different in the different cars, which makes for very, very small changes in your sort of play style. The small flat cars are a bit more easy to use, like a bat when you flip, and the big blocky cars, I think, are probably slightly better in defense. And they also have slightly different turning speeds. So I remember the Batmobile was particularly quick at turning around. It seems well balanced. It's I'm sure if you look at the top players, there's a little bit of metagame in who picks what cars. But I didn't ever feel like I was at a disadvantage for not having a good car. It was all very very minor changes. And I think they'll reflect in your playstyle as much as actually giving you an advantage. So there's like an experience point system, I guess, where this is not the same as the ranked mode, where you start off as untrained or something, and you go up through semi-pro, pro, and veteran, and these different ranks by gaining points, and it's basically a level system. So 1 to 10, you get one tag, 11 to 20, you get another. It starts off going at a reasonable pace, and then it grinds to a massive halt as you hit about level 25 or 30. And we're talking another 40 hours or something to go up a couple of ranks. But that didn't bother me, but I'm sure you might have something to say about it a bit later.
I will mention it.
Above that, you can add a lot of aesthetics to your car. So there's little antennae, I guess they call them toppers, right? Or is that the hats?
The toppers are like the little things that go on top of the car, ironically. You've got the flags, antennas. The antennas are the things that can be flags. Yeah. Or like I've got a Rick from Rick and Morty that wobbles around. Or no, it's a Morty. I've got a Morty that wobbles around.
They've got a nice bit of synergy with other game developers too. So quite often you can get... I've got the Portal, the little guy from Portal on my... on my antenna, which is cool. And then they're the tentacle topper, I think, at the moment. But there's a whole bunch of them, and they kind of range from common to uncommon to rare to ultra rare. And you get given them at random periods after you finish matches. There's a whole bunch though. I mean, more than what I just said, you can put like decals on the top of your car. There's different wheels, and now they've added when you score a goal, you can choose your kind of goal explosion animation. And when you go supersonic speed, you can get different trails coming out the back of your car. And they're all things you can find in the game. But you also get crates, something they added 6 months ago, which doesn't really bother me. But it's one of those, let's grind more money out of people.
I bought a couple of crates just because I was curious to see how it worked. Because I just wanted to give some money to the developer because we spent 300 hours on it. And it's like, well, I didn't even pay for the game. And I've bought like £5 worth of cars. I should probably spend a little bit more money on this. And it is bullshitty because, I mean, it's a standard crate and key system. A key costs like £1, I think, or £1.20, something like that. And you've got all these crates sitting around that you're given. And each time you unlock a crate, you have to use one of these keys that costs money. And then you get a random item from that crate. So like, there was one crate that had like a pixelated trail that I wanted. And I think I spent like 9 keys getting shit I didn't want. And then finally got the thing I wanted. And you can trade these things away to people, which is fine. But I never really understood how that works. I still don't know how to trade an item with someone else. Because people quite often when you start a game, they'll be like, oh, you want to trade stuff? It's like, oh, no, I don't know how to.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to. I don't know.
But it's not like in Don't Starve Together or PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. In those games, when you unlock customizational things, they're actually Steam items as well. So like, you can sell them on the community Steam store, which I know PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, they've got a few issues with that at the moment because people have been basically farming for items and then selling them on for huge amount of money in some cases. And it would be kind of better if that was the same. Like, I wish if I'd spent real money to unlock a crate and get an item that I don't want, I would like the option to be able to just sell it on Steam rather than have it just sit in my account and I can merge it with something else and trade it up for something. That would just be a better system. Seeing as I've spent real money on it, it'd be nice if I could sell it for real money if it's a piece of shit I don't want. Or, you know, don't have the crates. Just have, like, or a crate that you unlock and then you get to pick the item out of it you want. That kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, I've ranted about it. It's just, I find them a bit bullshitty. But that is the nature of things. And to be fair, I'd rather they did that than charge for maps or other shit that they add.
Yeah, nothing that breaks up the community. And I have never bothered with the unlocks, although the crates specifically, and I don't feel like I've missed anything either. So
for me, they do have a couple of nice things. I mean, there are a few rare things in there, like animated decals, which I quite like, which is when it's not just like a tattoo on the car, but it's like animated in some way, so you get like ripply effects and stuff. And they are pretty cool, some of them, and there are some nice effects in there. So it's a shame you can't get them any other way than through a random number generator that you're paying for, but...
Yeah.
There you go.
The one-armed bandit approach.
Enough said.
Yeah. Cool. Should we move on to our likes and dislikes?
Let's do that. Let's start with the likes.
Nice. Cool. So I'll just mention the thing that, for me, is what, you know, the reason why we've been playing for 300 hours, and that's just that the core mechanics are really tight. I mean... When you score, you feel like a badass. You're like, yeah, I did a flip or I did a little air jump and got it in. And when you concede a goal, you always feel like it's your fault. Oh, I should have been there. Oh, I just missed it. I clipped it in the wrong direction. The physics.
This is strong words from the man who, whenever a goal goes in that wasn't of his own making, he goes, oh, that's bullshit. That's a bullshit shot. That's just luck right there. I've never heard such... Such a quick change around of tune, John. That was because physics are fair, it says in my notes here. That's not what you shout when we're playing.
I won't be saying this when we're playing again, but when I take a step back and look from above, I understand it's fair. I mean,
bullshit.
Only bullshit because no one else we play against can actually play the game, right? They're just getting lucky. But no, it's and like you said earlier, it's very simple to pick up. Everything works like you expect, but really hard to master. So, good, strong mechanics.
Yeah. One of the things I like most about it is sort of the team play element of it. So, it's been really good playing cooperatively, which is kind of the point of this podcast after all, because in this sense, it really is true co-op. Like, we're on Skype chatting away while we're playing, and we're... Some nights we just chat shit, and we're not really concentrating, and you'll be like, go, 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 save it. And I'll be like, yeah, well, obviously, I'm doing it, Jesus. And then I'll jump in. Whereas other times we'll purposefully, like, do little plays that we're trying, or we'll try out new tactics together, or we'll just have, like, a descriptive system where we're like, okay, I'm back left, and you'll be like, okay, I'm smacking into the middle, and I'll be like, okay, I'm coming up, powering up, get ready to hit the reflect, and stuff like that. And it's been really fun to have, like, a team sort of element to it. And occasionally we played with one of your friends, Johan, who would come in, and he was much better than us. And then we'd sort of have to adapt to, like, a three-player style, which was a lot of fun as well. It just mixed things up a bit, made it a bit more interesting. And again, there was sort of that communication and real sort of almost like a team spirit type thing when you won and sort of felt justified that you'd done it from the skill of the three of you, which is nice.
You don't
get that in many games, I find. I mean, even like something like Titanfall, which we played to death, there was no team element of us doing that. I mean, we were in the same team together running around. But we rarely did stuff cooperatively in it because it's too difficult to coordinate and do it all. Whereas this is a true co-op experience.
I guess in Titanfall, if you were a full six versus a full six, then you might. But, you know, when you're only two out of six, you can't really do it. But in this, you can pick 2v2, 3v3, however many of you are. There are, you can play as a team. And that was really cool. I really liked messing up all our strategies and losing when we tried really hard to play specifically.
Always so much better when I was just drunk and chatting shit about Zelda. Like, oh, have you found this dragon up the mountain yet? It's so cool. Oh, look at that. It's my fifth aerial goal in a row. Jesus. Where's my second bottle of wine? Oh, I've drunk it. That's when we played best.
We think so anyway. I mean, not quite sure, but we think so. My next like is just that, kind of leading on a bit from what we said earlier with the easy to pick up and hard to master, but the skill curve I think is excellent. It's even across the 300 hours that we play, I mean, you know, there's enough variance in the games that someone who is beginning can, to some degree, I mean, not necessarily someone who's had 1 hour versus 300, but, you know, a 100 versus 300, there's still enough variance in the game, a little bit of luck and, you know, things bouncing around that they can still win, but the better player will win more often. But you constantly feel like you're getting better. I mean, at the moment, it feels like we've plateaued a little bit. But I think we're at the point now where we have to decide if we actually want to put effort in to get better instead of just playing, right? And maybe we won't do that. But I can still see that there's a lot more to go. Like, we could practice a lot more with the aerial shots and coming off the wall. There's a lot of people doing air dribbles when we get up to the top of our rank and we on a really good day. And then we start seeing people jump into the air and kind of dribbling the ball through the air, which is still crazy far ahead of us. But the fact that there's this astonishing curve, and you can watch some of the esports players, and it's just phenomenal. I mean, crazy <It's>, bastards.
Yeah. Like I say, it's a game of simple rules and mechanics. Easy to play. You'll never fucking master it. You just won't. I mean, some people have, obviously, but, you know, it's a very small group of people. You'd need to put in a phenomenal number of hours to get really good at this game. And I kind of like the fact, in a sense, that after 300 hours, I feel like shit when we lose. Yeah. It's like, it's a skill game, and after 300 hours, I'm not good at this. I should be better than what I am. Which is not true of Titanfall, where I pick that up after not playing it for a while and just run around headshot and being like, yeah, I'm fucking badass at this game. Whereas in this, I think there's a lot more people that have put in a phenomenal number of hours, whereas in games like Titanfall, not so much. At least not on Xbox, anyway. I think the only really other like I have to add is just the fact that it is simple to pick up and play, and that anyone can enjoy it, really. I mean, your mileage will vary. I think it's better with someone else to play it with. Like, I didn't play it much on my own. When I started out, I did about 20, 40 hours solo. Generally in 2v2 unranked, a little bit of ranked later on, just so I could get used to the mechanics of it and doing it. And that was mainly because you'd already played 40 to 60 hours. And so when we played together, I was horrific. And I felt bad that I was dragging you down. And so I put a lot of time to get it there. But if you had two people starting the game together at the same time who just played it together, you'd have a great experience. It'd be a really, you know, really good game.
Definitely. My last like is just that they, I think you mentioned it earlier, but they just keep adding new content, which is really nice. It keeps it fresh. So they regularly add new casual game modes, new arenas that you can battle in, quite often like the new series of effects that came recently when you score a goal, jazzing it up a little bit more, new aesthetic pickups you can find. They'll often say, oh, here's the Rick and Morty pack, and you can get, show me what you got on top of your car.
That is a Cromulan.
But no, I think it's nice that they're still supporting it and the community just keeps growing. I mean, I'll put this down for later, but they 200,000 players online nearly all the time, which is insane.
Yeah, they do add just so much new stuff that's of a very high quality. They're not just spunking out shit every so often. There are like really good new maps, and they have really tried hard to mix things up a bit. I mean, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But they seem to be doing a really good job of community management, in my opinion, from what I've seen. Like you say, they're just constantly adding new stuff, new bits and pieces, be that aesthetic or functional new gameplay modes. There's always something new and interesting coming along. They made an announcement the other day about something. I can't remember what it is now. But there is another new thing coming across soon, and it's all free, which is which is wonderful, really.
Yeah, that's nice. Keeps the community together.
Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to the dislikes.
Yeah, and this is my first dislike is reflecting on our most recent streak of games. And that is, I guess any competitive game has this really. But when you've had a night where you've won 3 games and then lost 15 in a row and watched your rank plummet horribly, that's pretty depressing.
The part of it that's depressing isn't the losing in a row. I can cope with that if I feel that the matches have been evenly balanced. What I take umbrage with is we were constantly on that evening for at least the first 9 matches before we just gave into despair and then just lost against people that we should have been beating. We're being ranked against people way higher than us. Like we were, we're both pretty much at the exact same rank. So say gold 1. We fell down to like silver 4, silver 3. And then they'd pair us against someone that's like gold 3 with a silver 3 friend. And it's like, well, okay, so there's one guy that's our rank and then one that's way higher, like way, way higher. And if you've got someone at that rank playing against you, it's difficult because they can do shit like air dribble. Like if the ball goes near them, they're going to win. And quite often we were looking at someone thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if like this guy is paying the other one just to be in matches with him to put him up in the higher ranks, because one good person can beat 2 average people at this game, because that's just how it works. You need solid matchmaking where the people are evenly matched. When we have an evenly matched, you know, pairing and we lose, we end it thinking like, oh god, at least we tried, that was badass. And that happened a few times, and you go into overtime because there has to be a winner. So if you get to the end of the 5 minutes, you go into this overtime mode of like sudden death. And so I judge how good a night it's been based on how many overtime matches we have. Because if we've got to overtime, that means we're evenly matched, in my opinion.
And there were some nights where we got a whole bunch of those.
Yeah. But they have issues. If you've got 200,000 people online at once, why the fuck am I playing against people 6 levels higher than me? It's not on. Pissed me right off.
That wasn't a good night, was it? Could be the last night. I uninstalled it afterwards. You did?
It was bad times.
That's how depressing it gets.
So my only dislike, really, apart from that epic piece of bullshittery, is the leveling up system. Just seems so pointless to me. Like, okay, you get XP for, you know, scoring points, blah, 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 doing things. And it goes up. But it doesn't unlock anything. Why randomly give out awards and crates and stuff? Why isn't that tied to the level up system? So I level up, I get given an award. I level up, I get given a thing. I level up, I get given an antenna. That makes sense to me. Having this thing where you level up and the distance to get from like level 49 to level 50 is literally like 10 hours of gameplay. It's a ridiculous amount of points you need to get there. And all you get is that at every 10th level, you get a different tag that you could put under your name that most people hide anyway. So, oh, I'm pro. Ooh, I'm master. But most people hide it anyway. So what's the point? It seemed very pointless to me. I don't like it. Like, it should be paired with the thing to give you rewards. Like, if I'm going to commit a lot of time to a game, I kind of need, like, that little endorphin hit of, oh, here's some stuff you've unlocked.
I mean, it wouldn't be hard. I mean, they've got so many pickups to hide a few behind levels. It's a gold star or something for getting to 50, you know?
Yeah. Here's, you know, just stuff that you can put on your car. Just customizational shit is fine. They've got a load of it that they could be giving you, or give you a crate key every time you level up.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. And then you get a random goodie. At that point, having it random is fine because you're not paying for it. It's just you've put X amount of hours in, have a free random thing. That's what all these games like Emoji Blitz and, you know, Candy Crush and all that kind of crap on iOS do. And that would seem better to me, because otherwise you have an evening where you lose 15 games in a row and you literally have fuck all to show for it because you didn't get anything. Whereas if I lost 15 games in a row...
Not that we would have got many points on that night. Because you still have to score goals.
Yeah, you still get points for completing a match. You get like 500. True. Which is why it's so annoying that it takes 10 hours. Even if you lost every match in a row and didn't move, you would probably take 12 hours rather than 10, because it's not that much of a difference. But it would just be better if you got stuff. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, my last gripe
I have a lot
is,
of anger.
Oh, Pentabanger tonight. Grr.
My last gripe is
something that they've converged to over time, which is a bit of a shame. So they've over time added new arenas. And some of them I thought were really cool. So they had the Tokyo Arena, which had a raised platforms on both sides. So the main area was a bit thinner, but you can go at the sides and there were little platforms. And it just made some variety to the gameplay. And then there was the Mad Max one where the whole level is sort of scooped in a little bit like an arena. And then there was a more recent space one where it is more like a octagon, I guess. And I mean, I didn't like that one, but it was a bit different. And over time, they've kind of gone, oh, people are complaining because it's slightly different. So we're going to make them all basically the same. And yeah, they look different and they do look very nice. But I like that variety. And yeah, they've put them into the casual play. But come on, I mean, oh, but it's not fair. I've practiced on this map and now they've changed it. It's like, it's still fucking fair because you're both playing on it. It's like a symmetrical map and it's fair. Like, stop whining and just play, you know, learn to play a little bit differently so that, you know, let's get rid of all variations so that you're always playing the same game. Ugh.
I get the feeling that they would have been better served by, rather than having that, oh, you can rate a arena to say, I like this or I dislike this, and then it will show up more or less in your rotation, which never worked.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just let you say, I never want this course. So that if
just
you pick really
one or
hated
two that
Tokyo,
you, never want.
You could say, I don't ever want to see that course again, and it would never show up for you in the ranked thing, because they've got 200,000 people playing online all the time. It's not like they're wanting for people to play. And like, if they did that and there's only 50 people online for a map, then get rid of the map because no one wants to play the fucking thing.
But yeah.
Just flattening the way. I mean, it's because it's esports. That's where the money is now. That's what this has moved into. It is now a major esports game. And so a fair amount of bureaucratic bullshit comes into play at that point.
Well, the ranks are separate. They could easily have like a, yeah, even they could even put one of the more casual maps like Rumble in, right? Is you could have 2v2, 3v3, 4v4 and Rumble ranked. Like, I'd buy that because we only want to play the ranked games primarily, right? Because you're going to be affecting your, I don't know, it just feels more real when you play ranked. Yeah. And it's
well,
a little bit limiting.
Because there's no point to the leveling up system, because the leveling up system is bullshit, as we discussed earlier. So there's no reason to play unranked because you're not working towards anything. At least with ranked, you can see some progress. You get that little dopamine hit of, ooh, you've leveled up. Ooh, you're slightly better. Ooh, look how good you are compared to other people, which you don't get in unranked. I've no idea why you'd play unranked. Unranked is just training mode, but with real people instead of bots.
I love the way this is a common gripe for you. It's like, can't just play a game because it's fun. I need to get something.
Well, it's
achievements
not fun.
Or levels.
It is fun for the first few hours, but then it's not fun. Like after you've, you know, you need a meta game in there to keep you interested. I find at least, like, I need something to keep me hooked into it. Because if I'm not winning, I still need something.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you need to counteract the losses. So. But yeah, let's move on to comments.
So my major comment on this is really a comment on society in general. So settle in. In Rocket League, they have a very, very nice system where, because you can cross, I don't think we mentioned this, you can cross play with people on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Mm. So if I'm on PC, we could have like PS4 players against us, which is kind of cool. And whilst on PC you can type in a chat box that people can see, either just your team or everyone. Obviously on PlayStation most of them don't have keyboards plugged in. So on the D-pad you can press up and you have various different options that you can choose. So you can have like team commands, which might be like take the shot or I've got this or something like that. Or you might get things like thanks or wow or what a save, etc.
What a save.
And what happens is that sometimes people are nice, not very often, and you'll get people say nice things. Like if you score a goal and it's really close and they just about missed it, it'll go one of three ways. You score the goal, everyone says nothing. You score the goal, they say, nice shot. And you think, oh, that's nice of them. These are nice people. I will say nice shot if they score a goal that I narrowly miss because it was a nice shot. Fine. Or the third option is they spam on the key, what a save, what a save, what a save,
yeah,
to sort of aggravate their teammate. Or if they score a goal against you, they'll just say, what a save, what a save, what a save, as if you're shit. and occasionally you get the really nice ones on PC where you'll just be, you know, maybe you, you know, in a competitive game, you scored a goal. And then they dislike that because they didn't save it. And then they just say, get cancer and die, fuck you, and then leave. And it's like, what? It's very odd.
But,
it's a very odd. But this is
why it's a comment. Yeah, this has led to the best comment I've probably seen in the game, right?
Yeah, there are.
I'll set it up. You can say the line. But there was a game we were playing, and we were playing against two people who weren't in a party, because you can see if they're in a party or not. And I think we were 3-0 up or 3-1 up, and yeah, one of the guys was obviously trying to forfeit. So if one person votes to forfeit and the other one votes, then the game ends. And the best line ever from the other guy. Deliver it, Ben. You can deliver it.
He just said, you'll play the game, bitch. It's like, you are going to sit and play this game all the way through. Doesn't matter if we're losing, you are playing it. And I thought, oh, that's
so good.
That's golden, like, right there.
Otherwise, you're going to have to, because you can't rejoin for 15 minutes. If you quit from a ranked match, you're just locked out for 15 minutes. So you had him by the balls. That was great.
And there are like quite a few interesting ones. Like there's one guy that plays, I think he's called like Waffle Master or something. And every time he scores a goal, or every time someone scores a goal, he'll just post an interesting fact about waffles. Like usually it'd be like, did you know the waffle was invented in such and such? Or just post little recipes in it. It's a bit weird. And there have been a few instances where we've had, you know, a fun bit of banter, like actual good banter back and forth with people where you're not being too serious and jokey. And that's fine. I like that. But you get an awful lot of twats.
Yeah.
To the point that I won't play it single player. If I play it single player, because if you're in like a 2v2 and you're with some random person on your team, they are more likely to be hostile to you than the other team. Because if you let a goal in, they'll just be like, what a save, what a save, what a save. What are you doing? Or like, they'll make an impossible hit and it'll sort of pass maybe, you know, near the goal, and they'll just say, take the shot, take the shot, take the shot. And it's like, there is no shot. There's no shot for me to take. And if you don't take it, they just start spamming the one that basically says fuck, but it's all like obfuscated. It's just like hashtag at symbol exclamation. They'll just spam that a few times. Like, why didn't you take the shot? And it's like, wah, I just want to reach through my system and punch you in the face. So it's aggravating, but at other times it's comedy gold. So it really depends on which you get.
All right, let's whittle through our final comments.
Yep, go for it.
So I think the DLC model is very fair. We've mentioned it before, so I think I won't say much more than that. Nice to buy some new cars, but apart from that, you don't have to pay anything. So,
absolutely, I completely agree. I like the new cars. I like that you can get them for a really good low price. I don't like the crates and keys so much, but I've discussed that. The only other thing I really had to mention was that it's a shame that there's only the basic game modes in ranked. It would be fun to play that rumble mode. Like we said, I need a drip feed of enticement to keep me playing something. And I never play the rumble mode because I see no point in playing the rumble mode because it doesn't contribute to anything. I mean, there are a few achievements and stuff in the game, but they're Steam achievements, so big whoop.
Yeah. Right, last thing I'm going to mention is I'm going to mention it really quick, even though it's super awesome. If you want to find out more, then hit us up on Twitter. But we set up a very convoluted system where we would process replays after a game, upload the results to a server, the data would go to your iPad for validation. Then when you hit OK, it would come to my Tingbot, which is a Raspberry Pi in a box, to show us the results. And both of us have lights on the walls that are controlled by the iPad, which would flash up and show the last results of the last 12 for you and 9 for me games in blue or orange. That was awesome. Very quick, but otherwise we'll talk about it for an hour because of the tech.
And similarly related to that, we also wanted to listen to the same music at the same time whilst we were playing, despite the fact one of us is in Sweden, one's in the UK, and we were using Skype. So rather than setting up some sort of web server or radio stream, instead we built a very complicated tool where John listens in Spotify and it pushes a load of data to me and I convert it into Apple Music so I can listen to it on my iPhone. And that was awesome as well.
Yeah, both really cool. And you should hit us up on Twitter and we'll talk about it more. And we might even write some blog posts on our personal blogs about that. So
I do have a blog post about it at kyloben.com. So
nice.
Enjoy that.
Cool.
That's about the music, I think. I don't think I did the lights yet, but I will. Great. So in conclusion, we always ask two questions. Would we play it again and would we recommend it? John?
Hell yeah to both. We're going to play it again at some point.
We'll probably play it again in about 5 minutes' time because I drunk installed it the other night.
And we need to get those ranks back that we lost.
Would we play it again? I'll say yes, but I hate myself that I say yes because it's like heroin. I just can't get enough of this game, even though I hate myself afterwards due to the heavy losses I suffer. And I would recommend it to anyone that has an addictive personality. So enjoy. All right, thank you very much for listening. You can listen to our previous, I think we've got 24 episodes now, 25 episodes.
We do.
On connectingtohost.co.uk with games from Splatoon 2 to Gauntlet to Ibn Ob and everything in between. You can suggest games to us on Twitter at CTHcast. Tell us what co-op games you think we should be reviewing. Tell us you disagree. Tell us that Tokyo is a shit map and should have been pooled. Whatever, just mention us there. And if you have the time and the inclination and you're not going to just put what a save, then please leave an iTunes review for us. Thank you very much, and we hope to entertain you in the next episode.